Hi, welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
Welcome.
Hello.
It's so good to be here.
It is.
We are in a new month.
Welcome, March.
If you can believe it.
Here we are.
It is still the weirdest winter of all time
here in Utah. A lack of snow.
Although I think this weekend
we're supposed to get a big dump.
Like 10 inches or something.
Well, they keep telling us we're going to get a big dump.
And then it blows on by. Do. Yeah, that's a very good point.
So
I'll believe it when I see
it. Right. We'll see.
Kind of attitude.
That's what I'm waiting on. We'll see.
I think that's a fair way to look at it.
Right. But at this point, it's time for spring.
Yeah, they can't give us snow now. Mm-mm. It missed its chance.
Come on. The hedgehog, gopher, what is it?
Groundhog.
Groundhog saw its shadow, did not see its shadow. There is no more snow in the forecast. Punxsutawney Phil
now,
told us
you.
It's spring, so
it's spring.
Listen.
Thank you very much.
Hedgehog.
We waited with bated breath.
Right.
And now we don't want you.
Right. Goodbye.
That's the way it goes.
Bring it on.
But we're not here to talk weather. We're here to talk books, Jamie.
I love books.
Me too. I'm excited to talk about the ones I've been reading.
Me too.
But before we do that,
let's talk about our book club pick.
Yes.
And our author from it. So our author is Ariel Lahan, mm-hmm. and she is the author of The Frozen River.
Mm-hmm.
And have I read anything else by her? I think you have, but I haven't.
Let me look.
So I will read, I think you read Codename Helene.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you read I Was Anastasia?
Yes.
Okay, so you've read a couple. I haven't read anything by her. So here is a little bit about her from her website, ariellahan.com. She is a critically acclaimed New York Times bestselling author of historical fiction. Her novels include The Wife, The Maid, and The Mistress, Flight of Dreams, I Was Anastasia, Codename Helene, The Frozen River, which is the one we're reading, and When We Had Wings, which she was a co-author on that one with Susan Meisner and Christina McMorris. That sounds familiar.
When We Had Wings.
I don't know if I've read that or not, but I need to look that up and see.
It looks like a very, like one I've seen a lot of times.
Seen it. I have not read it. At least I don't think I have.
Nope.
Says her books have been translated into numerous languages and have been library reads, One Book, One County, Indie Next, Costco, Amazon, Spotlight, and Book of the Month Club selections. She lives in the rolling hills outside of Nashville, Tennessee, with her husband and four sons. She splits her time between the grocery store and the baseball field. That is right there, like the explanation of a mom.
Right.
Grocery store, whatever your kids are doing.
Right. And somehow in the middle of that, she's writing very good books.
Very good books that have made lots of lists, and she does it all, right?
Well, don't make us feel bad. It's fine.
Right. So we will learn more about Ariel in the next couple weeks.
So amazing.
Right?
I can't wait. And I can't wait for the book. I'm really excited about it.
I'm really excited too.
Awesome.
So let's take a break, and then we'll talk about what's on our shelves.
Right. Here we are. Okay. It's time.
Sarah, take it away.
All right. I'm going to start with Clytemnestra. I hope I say that correctly.
Okay. Well, I can't tell you.
This is
like Greek
or
some kind of mythological creature?
Yes.
Person, god?
So, okay, Clytemnestra, she is the daughter of a king.
Okay.
And she is raised, like, really to be a warrior. Like, mm-hmm. the women are strong, and they are just as strong as the men. And she is going to marry a king and be a ruler of men.
Awesome.
With her husband. Now, not all the lands feel the same way as you know, her, as mm-hmm. where she was raised. So Clytemnestra was born and raised in Sparta. She is the daughter of the king.
Mm-hmm.
And her sister is Helen of Troy.
Okay. So very well-known people.
Yes.
And yet I have never heard her name before.
Right. Well, she has many siblings.
Okay.
They talk of their large family. I don't know how many there are. I mean, I'm not saying like tens of whatever, but like right. at least like seven or eight. Like okay. there's a bunch of them. And she like loves her siblings so much, and they are raised very close, and they fight together and they hunt together and they, you know, all the things. They are very close knit family. There are also very high expectations for the children mm-hmm. to okay. marry well and to be grand people. Mm-hmm. And when she is young, there are three sisters that are close in age, and there's a woman in their like kingdom mm-hmm. Who gives prophecies, and she shows up one day and says, gives this prophecy about the three sisters, and that they will marry many men oh. but be a keeper to none.
Okay.
So they will be their own independent women.
I love it.
Okay.
Okay.
And this is the story of Clytemnestra and her path.
Okay.
And how that prophecy plays out. And I like a good story like this. Mm-hmm. I do. Every once in a while, I can't do time and time again, like book after book after book. I need a nice right. break in between. But every once in a while, I'm like, oh, I like to read a good mythological story.
Yeah.
I find it super interesting. And this one was interesting because Helen is her sister, Helen of Troy, and she's obviously not Helen of Troy yet when we meet her.
Right.
And the difference between these sisters. So
it's like her background.
Yeah. And like how she was very meek and never a very good fighter. And was she really the daughter of the king, or did the mother? There's this mystery oh. about her parentage. So that mm-hmm. kind of comes into play, and where their stories take them. Like I could sit and talk about the things that happened to Clytemnestra, and it's just like flabbergasting. And she is still this very strong, very capable woman who is playing a long game.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't have the forethought or the patience or strength that she has. It's amazing. Okay. And so if you like mythology, this is a great book.
Okay.
I loved, like, she marries Agamemnon, who is another huge Greek mythology king. And the way that he gets her to marry him, like, you would not.
Yeah.
She does not want, she's forced to marry him. And it is devastating. And how she doesn't kill him in his sleep, I do not know. Like, it's so crazy.
Right.
But she is amazing. And because if I tell you that some details, I will spoil it, and you have to take this journey with her.
Right.
But it is fun. Like Helen goes to Troy. How does Helen get to Troy? And really, she was married to someone else at the time. So there's that whole thing.
Okay.
Like there's just all kinds of things. And there's a double standard, right? Like what's acceptable for men and not acceptable for women.
Right.
And as a ruler, you know, it's expected that men are better rulers than women. And why do we think that? And how does she change their minds? It's so good. Anyway, I really liked it. I gave it 4 stars. It's certainly a book if you like the genre.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, that's okay. Pass. But if you like to dabble in it a little bit, then this would be a great one to choose. Yes.
Okay.
Clytemnestra by Costanza Casati. I hope I said that right.
Beautiful. All right. My first one today is called Unmasking Autism, Discovering the New Faces of Neurodiversity by Devin Price. Devin Price has a PhD, so Dr. Price, a social psychologist, a writer and a professor, and he himself has autism. So what I really like about this book, neurodiversity is interesting to me. I myself have ADHD, my kids do. And I just think, especially as a teacher too, I'm seeing a lot more of autism in the classroom and ADHD, and just trying to learn more about how to help all students in my classroom be successful, how to help myself be successful. So this is definitely like a little rabbit hole that I go down here and there. And I liked this one because it's of personal experience. Mm. So you hear a lot about, you know, I read a lot about this topic, but when it comes from someone who's experienced it, it's a little different. And this is a researcher. So not only does he have his own experiences, but he's very involved in the research of it. And what I thought was interesting was in this one, you know, there's a lot of therapies for people with autism to help them to normalize into our society. And he's talking about the effects that that has on their mental health because they're stimming or the things that they naturally do mm-hmm. are them. And when they are learning to suppress that, that has a that has an effect on them in some way. So they might be more acceptable in society, but what is that doing to them and how is that affecting them? So it talks about masking, you know, the effects of masking or acting, you know, putting on a different face to fit in.
Uh-huh.
And really the benefits and the downsides of that. It was very, very interesting. It opened my eyes to people who have autism and their families and their experiences. I think it was very, very well written and researched and one of the better books I've read to open my eyes and have a better understanding of autism and neurodiversity in general. So I highly recommend it. I gave it 4 stars, Unmasking Autism.
Awesome. Sounds very good. Okay. The next book I will talk about is You with a View by Jessica Joyce. This is like rom-com central. I don't even know if rom-com. It is like steamy.
Ooh.
If you're in the market for a nice, juicy romance, I will say I did a lot of skipping.
This is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did a lot of skipping. I almost at one point thought, it was like this book could be told in half the pages, but in order to make it a full-length novel, they just kept putting in these descriptive scenes.
Right.
Totally unnecessary. But some people love it.
Right, right. Some people are there for those pages.
Yes, they are. And that's
what sells this type of book.
The story outside of that, those scenes, I really did like.
Okay.
This is the story of a girl, well, Noelle, who is in her 20s. She's had a rough go at adulthood, like career-wise. She can't seem to find her feet. She's recently lost her grandmother, who was like her favorite person in the world. And she is lost. She's lost her job because you don't really understand what happened, but it also killed her confidence. She has like a high school nemesis that has been very successful in career life and has made like the top 40 Forbes people to watch, you know, and she just watches him and his success and feels very sad for herself. But as she was going through all of her grandmother's belongings, you know, she just misses her and spends a lot of time, you know, remembering her. She finds a box that is full of items and specific that she's never seen before. And there's a letter and a picture with her and another man. And on the back, it has it doesn't say anything about it. She has no idea who this man is. And her grandma looks very happy and it raises questions. And so she creates like a TikTok video and posts it like, does anyone know this man? I'm trying to find this guy.
Ooh.
Like find out who he is. Does anyone know who he is? And it goes viral, and somebody is like, that's my grandpa.
I love
that. Would you like to meet him? And she would love to meet him, and they arrange a time, and she goes, and it turns out that this man's grandson is her high school nemesis. Dun, dun, dun.
Of course
he is.
Yeah.
So, but he's maybe not, all the good things maybe aren't all as that they seem, and he's going through his own, clearly, you know, he's brooding a little bit and whatever. Right. And then she meets this grandpa and she adores him. And there was a past romance before they found their people that they married. Mm-hmm. They each married different people, but they did have this romance, her grandma and this grandpa. And he shares this experience with Noelle. And Noelle decides that she's going to they had this road trip planned, her grandmother and this man, and she decides but they never went on it, and she's going to go on it.
She's going to take the road trip.
And they go with her. And so the story is them, you know, maybe going down memory road piece by piece, while she's also like letting go of grandma.
Right.
and finding herself, which was lovely. I really enjoyed it. It's a great storyline. And it's also a romance novel. So there's that in there too. Right. I just felt like I need to, full disclosure, it was a surprise to me. A little bit, sure. No, it's a lot. It's a lot of romance.
Okay.
So if you're looking for a really good storyline with some romance,
then this is it.
Yeah, this is a great one. I gave it 3 stars.
Okay.
And it's called You with a View by Jessica Joyce.
Fantastic. All right. My next one is The Love Song of Miss Queenie Hennessy. Oh, Miss Queenie Hennessy. So this is book number 2 in a trilogy-ish of Harold, The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry.
I love Harold Fry.
I know. I loved Harold Fry too, and I love Miss Queenie Hennessy.
I do too.
Oh, so Harold Fry, the first book, he goes on this pilgrimage. He heads to the mailbox to drop off a letter, ends up walking all the way to go see Queenie.
This friend.
And so this is Queenie's story. And so this takes place while Harold Fry is walking, taking his journey to her. She's in a care center, a hospice center, care center type place. And so it's the other side of the story. It's what's going on in the care center as they're hearing and getting messages from Harold Fry that he's on his way and to see her. And it kind of gets a little bit of news media. And so it's Queenie Hennessy's story and her perspective of her relationship, her friendship with Harold Fry over the years. Mm-hmm. And it just gives that, it fills in the holes of Harold Fry and the background of Queenie's life and what she experienced through life. As you're hearing, you know, the Harold's journey towards her. And I love Harold.
I
love Queenie.
I didn't love Queenie.
You didn't?
I just was looking it up. Now, mind you, I read it 6 years ago.
Okay.
I only gave it 2 stars, Jamie.
What?
I don't know why. I can't remember.
Because I think I liked Queenie better or just as well, if not a little bit.
Most people do.
Love Queenie.
Most people do. Look at that.
Yeah.
She has great ratings.
4 stars. I gave it 4 stars.
Yeah.
I loved Harold Fry. I love Harold Fry. Let's see what I gave Harold Fry. Maybe 5. I don't even know. 4 or 5.
I gave Harold 4.
I gave him 4 as well.
I gave Maureen, which is the next one, 4.
Yeah. I'm shocked that you gave it 2. I'm trying to figure that out.
Do I need to go back and read this again? Like, why didn't I like it? I don't think I liked Queenie. Like,
interesting.
I don't know why she needed Harold so bad. It kind of bothered me. Like, get your own Harold. Okay.
Well, yeah, she did need her own Harold. How so sad that she didn't have a Harold.
Yeah.
Because she did really care for Harold.
And Maureen needed Harold.
Well, now I want to talk about Maureen, and I'm going to, but wow.
But tell them about the book. I didn't mean to hijack.
Okay.
Because it is worth talking about.
Yeah.
We don't always like the same books. That's okay.
No, and it is. I think it's actually quite good, but I want to talk like everything about this book with you so we can delve into why you didn't like it. So she's in the care center. She's hospice care. She is dying from a disease, an illness, and that's, she kind of had written Harold to be like, you know, one last thank you, this is where I'm at, I just wanted to, you know, let you know and
say goodbye. Yeah.
But so she's here and she's talking about her life, like how she got here. She had never married, didn't have anybody, she's on her own, but she was really good friends with Harold, and she helped Harold out. It's hard to talk about this because I don't want to give away anything that happened in the first book. So I can't really talk about, you know, what happened there or here. But she talks about her life before Harold, her life after Harold, because she hasn't seen him in many, 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 many years. So they worked together at one point. He's retired now. She had moved on. There was a falling out that you find out about in book one. So after they worked together, their relationship stopped. It did not continue on. Their friendship did not continue on. So he hadn't heard from her in a lot of years. But with that falling out, she helped him out with some things, and he does feel a bit indebted to her, which is why he goes on that pilgrimage. After their friendship, she moves on and she, you know, has another job, and she buys a house and kind of settles in another place. And she's built this garden at her house. They call it a seascape, a sea garden. And so it talks a lot about the sea garden and different things she's placed and built over the years in this sea garden that give a little bit about her life and the meaningfulness in her life. And so it talks a lot about that. Anyway, and then it goes into Harold showing up and then what happens there. And I can't say anything more about it, but
spoil it.
I can't spoil it, but I really liked this backside and of the story, her life,
point of view.
Her point of view, and the other side of it. I loved it. I gave it 4 stars.
I'm so glad you
I
did.
Really liked Queenie.
Because I actually really love Harold Fry.
Yeah.
Like, Harold Fry, you just say the name, mm-hmm. and I'm like, Harold.
Yeah.
I adored Harold.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was just my eyes and mind back 6 mm-hmm. years ago and what my point of view was about Queenie.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I feel different today. Yeah. But I didn't like it. Apparently, I gave it 2 stars. Yeah.
And I really loved it. And I thought it was just a great addition. You know, the author was never going to write another book after Harold Fry. This was not her plan.
Yes.
To continue on anybody else's story. It was just Harold Fry. Mm-hmm. And people kept saying, what about Queenie? What about Maureen? Is there going to be more? And she's like, no, there's no more.
Yeah.
And then one day she woke up and there was more. Like,
yeah. It
like mm-hmm. opened, the story opened her and she's like, oh, here's Queenie. And so it went from there. It was never the plan. And
yeah.
I liked hearing that about it. So I really enjoyed it. The love
You know
songs.
What's interesting is that, I mean, Harold Fry has been, The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry, the first book,
mm-hmm.
is 3.94 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, it's also been read by 180, or it's been rated.
It's been around
by 180,000 people. But The Love Song of Miss Queenie Hennessy is 4.08. So it has a higher rating. It only has 30,000, about 30,000 ratings. So yeah. Much less ratings, but still a higher overall love.
Right.
Which I find very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then Maureen is a little bit less. Like, it's only been read by or rated by like 6,500 people. Very few.
So even less and less read as it goes on.
But also not quite as high as Queenie. Queenie has the best rating.
Queenie's it. Queenie's where it's at. And you did not care for Queenie.
No, you guys can
tell. And and to each their own, right?
Yeah,
that's why we read so many books. And
for sure.
Yeah.
There's lots of books that I love that you didn't like.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Okay. So here's another one for our show.
Have you read it? Let us know.
Yeah.
Now we need to do
Who do you agree
poll.
With?
Who likes
Are you a Sarah? Are you a Jamie?
Or how much? Who likes Queenie?
Are you a Queenie? Are you a Harold?
Harold all the way, boy.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm a fan of Queenie. I love them both.
I know.
I love their story, so.
I agree. That's funny.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't even realize that until I looked it up while you were talking about it. Anyway, okay. The last book I'm going to talk about today is The Secret Book of Floralee by Patty Callahan Henry. This is a beautiful cover. And it has been on all the lists.
It is very beautiful. And I love the name Flora.
End of last
That's
year.
That's really cute.
This, okay. I've been waiting for it for a long time. It's been on hold at my library for me for a very long time. So I was excited when it came available. This is the story of a woman who is now an adult. But when she was 14, it was during World War II. And she was a child mm-hmm. in England who had to be sent to like the villages out of London to the villages to be safe, right? They called it like the Pied Piper movement. I don't know what the exact mm-hmm. verbiage is, but it was named after the Pied Piper, which she references regularly. Like, why would you do that? Like, the Pied Piper leads children away to their death, and you're calling this exodus of children like the Pied Piper. And I thought that was super interesting. I'd never considered that before. And she's not wrong. And they talk a lot about, like, the things that happened to children that were separated from their families during that time. And like a little bit, it's not like a general focus of that. This is just one specific story, but they do reference other experiences of children. Mm-hmm. And it is pretty crazy that that was something that England did, right? Like separating children from their parents and families. And sometimes from each other.
Imagine. Like,
certain families couldn't take a whole load of children, so you might get split up. Anyway, it was very interesting. And this 14-year-old had a younger sister who was 5, and they were able to be kept together in a small town near Oxford. And a single woman who had a son that was around Flora's age took them in. And she was kind of looked down upon by the village because she was single. And the story of her son's parentage had been turned into, like, you know, gossip and fodder, and she had to live with that. But she herself was a very kind and big-hearted woman and was wonderful to these girls.
Okay.
And so it's a lot about that experience. But one day, the 5-year-old sister goes missing. And they never do find her. They don't find her body. They don't know what happened to her. And it is devastating for them. The older sister, while they were away from their mom, created the story of a fantasy land.
Okay.
And they would share this story to help her not be scared. And I know that, like, I think it was called Whisperwood, this make-believe land, and it was their secret. And she made her promise never to tell anyone about their secret land. And she couldn't go there with anyone but her sister. It was like they're together. Anyway, so that is a cherished memory that even 14-year-old sister, I can't even remember her name, Hazel, like, never shares with anyone because it's such a heartbreak. It just makes her so sad to think about it. And she has, in her adult age, has become like a purchaser at a rare bookshop. And she likes to find these expensive books. And one day, she is receiving these things that had been bought at auction, and she's cataloging them. And it is a story called Whisperwood. And it is her secret land that she created for her 5-year-old sister. And it sparks in her this, like, no one knew this story.
Where did this come from?
Is her sister still alive? And did she tell this story? How did this person
get this know whole story?
This story? And she starts going back to all these people from that time and talking to them. And did you know the story? And maybe this person knew the story. There were nurses in the town, or all these people that were involved in their lives. And what happened on that day when her sister disappeared, and the guilt she's carried because she wasn't watching her. All the things that you would feel at the loss of a loved one during the war.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really about the war necessarily. It's this family, but that was happening around them.
That's what was going on.
Yeah. And what happened to her and her mother's relationship after they lost her sister, how her mother dealt with the loss compared to how she dealt with the loss.
Yeah.
And the other twist of this story is that this Whisperwood book is coming out of America.
Oh.
Anyway, it is really good. I really liked it. It's a historical fiction, and yes, it takes place during World War II, and there's a little bit of that. It was mostly about this experience of the Pied Piper children, and that was super new and interesting to me. I mean, you hear a little bit of that in the other books, but this was like what it was really like for them, and it was really good. I don't want to spoil like how it all ends up and what she chooses. Like, there's lots of things that are involved. It's quite an intricate story.
out.
And it's really good. I gave it 4 stars.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it, especially if you're a fan of historical fiction. This is one you won't want to miss. It's called The Secret Book of Flora Lee by Patty Callahan Henry.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds so good. Putting it on my list. All right. I think this is my last one for the day, right? We're at that already? We're already here. It goes so fast. The last one I'm going to talk about is Happiness Falls by Angie Kim. I have read another book, Miracle Creek, that I really liked by her. And she tends to write in this book, Happiness Falls, and in Miracle Creek, about families that have children with disabilities and how difficult that is and the struggles, or just kind of opens the door to this is what it's like for families like ours. Like when we have someone, you know, in our families, we have issues that other people don't experience or maybe even always see. And this one is the same. So it's about a family. There's a mom and a dad. The oldest sibling, there's 3 children. The oldest are twins, a boy and a girl, and they're in college at this point. So they're older, in and out of the house, off to college, home for summer and for breaks and stuff like that. And then there is a younger sibling, Eugene, and Eugene has a syndrome called Angelman syndrome. Hmm. And I actually had a family in our old neighborhood who had a young child who was diagnosed with this. So I'm slightly familiar with Angelman syndrome, not in depth, but it is rare, a rare genetic syndrome. But it's interesting how it presents. Children or people with Angelman syndrome are happy. They always have a smile on their face, regardless of what's going on. They are smiling, laughing, happy. So it comes across sometimes in situations that should not be laughing and smiling, mm-hmm. that they don't have any empathy or sense, but they do have empathy. And, you know, and as you read it and you find out about this character, they know a lot more of what's going on than they portray, because they portray a happiness.
Yeah.
At all times. And it talks about when they're not happy, like the hardship of this syndrome. It's not all happiness and smiles. He's also nonverbal, is unable to speak. And so it does seem, I thought in the book it said Angelman syndrome and autism together, but I'm not exactly sure on that. So the story starts out with the dad stays home with Eugene and takes care of him. And the mom is the breadwinner. She works full time, and dad stays because they have to have someone with Eugene at all times. And he is involved in this group home that they go to, and they get therapy there, and he interacts with people there. And the dad is able to, have a support group there. Mm-hmm. Typically, the others are mothers. He's the only father there. And he, you know, has a relationship with all these other parents because they're all kind of doing the same thing together. He goes out with Eugene one day. They go to this one particular park and they go hiking there often. And Eugene comes back that day by himself, which is very, very unheard of. And they don't know where dad is. So this is the story of a missing person. And this family's experience in, you know, how to go about finding dad and what happened, because Eugene can't speak and he's the only person who knows what happened. So the police get involved, and this really gives you like how non-understanding, if you have to have the police involved in a situation and you have a child who is autistic, neurodivergent, or has a syndrome like this, when the law gets involved and they have rules that they have to go by and things they have to do. And yet they have their number one witness is a child with a severe disability and can't really help. And so they're trying to bring in, you know, these forensic experts and these child experts that are interviewing him to get information. And you can't really interview him. He can't really talk to you, but they're insistent that this is the protocol, which it just doesn't make sense with what they have, but legally they have a protocol they're going to follow. And so you kind of see the system breaking down because it's not made for everyone. The system is set on the norm, and this is outside of the norm. And so now what do they do for this investigation? It's a real interesting twist on a missing person, because it's not just about a missing person. It's about this family struggle. They struggle because they're very isolated because of
what are they going to do their situation
without dad there. What does his care look like now? What does this investigation look like, as our number one witness is a nonverbal adolescent? And it's crazy. I loved it so much.
Okay.
I think it really was written so well. It's so interesting.
Did you like it better than Miracle Creek?
Because
you liked Miracle Creek too. I really liked
Miracle Creek. I gave this one 4 stars. I gave Miracle Creek. Did I already say? I gave Miracle Creek. Oh, I gave it 3 stars. So yes, I guess I liked this more, but in reflecting back on Miracle Creek, I'm really surprised I gave it 3 stars.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Because I really liked Miracle Creek as well. So I guess I liked this one a little better.
Awesome.
I don't know what it was I liked better about this one.
Sure.
I really, really enjoyed it. 4 stars.
I love that.
Happiness Falls. I recommend reading both of them. Enjoyed them both.
Oh, so many good things today.
Right? Some good books.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you if you have recommendations for us, or if you've read these and want to tell us your feelings, we want to hear about it. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook.
You can email us at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com.
Please rate, subscribe, and share with your friends.
Thank you to Amphibious Zoo for our music.
Now get back to your book. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.